sing His praise, and I'm grateful that you're here. A couple of announcements, if you'll look with me on the bulletin. And I want to appreciate the last couple of weeks. I didn't even notice it, but some of you may have noticed the logo was cut off on the bulletin, and there were some other adjustments, and John Williams straightened it all up, so I think we're good, and it looks good. So you'll see an update on the missions that we support in Moldova in the bulletin, but I'd ask Andy if you would share something about an update on that ministry.
Well, thank you so much. Colleagues and brothers and sisters in Moldova, they're still under the realm of oppression and conflict, and you might have heard the news that one of their leaders was found dead in a prison. Looks like it was some kind of a government thing. And he was sort of a spiritual Christian leader for the opposition, and now they worry about what's going to happen. So just keep Dimitri and his colleagues, we support them, we support their ministry and their medical ministry to the refugees in Ukraine and Russia. And just, you know, he wrote me this email and he says, "This Alexei was a really good man, saying right things, sharing words of truth and hope for Russia. And not only, I believe he was a man of faith, and he's in heaven now. Thank you so much. I can share with you. You be blessed and take care of your country." So just pray for Dimitri and our sisters and brothers suffering in that area of the world.
Thank you. Thank you for your contact. Keeping us posted. Let's keep Alexei, his wife, and his family in prayer. Because they're now under the government. Pun intended, but they're now need to, our prayers to God with a hedge of protection around them. Any other announcements before we go to prayer? Yes, sir.
So another one real quick. So on Thursday around 1 o'clock, I'd like to have a meeting for anyone that's involved or interested in helping to plan the healing service. We're going to meet at about 1 o'clock and text me to make sure that's okay. Probably a restaurant, probably the Bagel on Iron Timberbank, but we can change that. So anyone that's involved that would want to help out with that, please let me know. And if you can't make the meeting, just communicate. We'll start planning the service and being involved with that. It's going to be a great ministry that we'll see God's power in our patients and our parishioners who are healing. So.
Great. We'll look forward to that, and I'll do a robo-call in the middle of the week. But Thursday, Bagels and I, roughly, we'll let you know, 1 o'clock, to discuss the healing ministry that will begin. And if you're interested in attending, text Andy and you'll have that. Any other announcements? Yes, sir.
Just an update on the Samaritan Purse survey. We've got 21 responses, 17 have elected to donate money to the shoeboxes, for bringing items. Right now we're sitting at about 148, so I think we can snap the chalk line at a goal of about 150, but I think we're going to be able to drive that cost down and do more. So that's just the update now.
Well, thank you, Tony, for your effort. If you haven't voted on that, of what you'd like to do, there are forms on the table as you walk in on the narthex, and you can just drop it in the offering plate and we'll get that to Tony. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. A couple that aren't written that I learned about and want to lift up today. Got a call early morning from Dave Gardner, and B has COVID. And the symptoms are bad. Actually, she was going to the doc in the box. She had a temperature and some other things. Her son Brad is coming down from Northern Virginia. They have plenty of food at this time, but just keep both of them, all of them, in our prayers. The other is a friend of David Lindsay. His name is Danny Kaufman, and he was doing some tree work, and the tree fell on him, and we just need to pray that he can walk again. So let's keep Danny Kaufman in our prayers. We also, if you look now on the bulletin, we've got Dave Gardner there, but Sherry's coming along from her surgery, Katie as well, and Gail walked all the way across the parking lot today. So we keep those in prayer. Any other prayer requests that anyone would have? Robert.
Give a prayer for Heather and also for the Harvey. Miss Harvey didn't look too good yesterday.
So let's keep both the Harveys in our prayers and Heather. I'll have an opportunity, finally worked out Thursday night. I'll be seeing Heather tomorrow afternoon. So pray that that will be a good time. So let's keep the Harveys and Heather in prayer. Anyone else? Yes, Gail.
Please keep my mother in prayer. She has two appointments this week. Tuesday, she's seeing an ophthalmologist for severe double vision. And then on Friday, she's seeing a cardiologist for exhaustion and high blood pressure.
Okay. Let's keep Gail's mother in prayer. Her name is Elgin Van Horn, and she has two appointments this week. So let's keep both of those in prayer. Yes, Gwen, welcome home and good to see you.
Thank you. Can I keep your mom in prayer because she's got a stress test coming up and she's just having some issues with her medications and her AFib.
Well, we will definitely keep you in prayer.
Next month.
Okay. The 14th of March. Let's keep Patty in prayer. Does anyone know whether or not the Griffins got home safely?
They did.
They did.
I got a note on Facebook.
Okay. And Webb has his stress test coming up, I think the 29th maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep Webb in prayer as he has his stress test on the 29th. Anyone else? That's good. Hey, you've time.
Yeah, I like to, say prayers for Maggie, our little bull mastiff. Had her to the vet. She's paddling Cushing's and had her to the vet on Friday. She's got kidney disease and a heart murmur, so we got her on medicine. She's just not eating, but I like to say prayers for Maggie.
Amen. Nothing, I don't mean this in a theological way, but I don't think it's coincidental that the reflection of God in spelling is dog, because I don't know of any being that I've interacted with that demonstrates unconditional love more than a dog. So it's tough to watch, as so many of us know, it's tough to watch them suffer. So let's pray for Maggie. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for just another day. We know that it's a privilege that some did not receive, either through the natural aging process, but also through tragedies, even in our own hometown, around the world. Life is precious, for we are all created in your image. So we pray for those who have suffered loss, and just encourage and strengthen. We pray that you be with those that we've mentioned this morning for prayer. We pray that you be with Bea. May the symptoms of her COVID reduce and the temperature reduce, and may she be comforted. May Brad have safety as he travels, and may Dave and Brad both be protected from getting COVID. We pray that you'd be with Danny Kaufman. We just pray that he would be able to walk again. We know that thou art the great physician, and that which is impossible for man is possible with you. There's no degree of miracle in you. You can do as you please, and we would beg you that you would find pleasure in extending your mercy to Danny. We pray that you be with the Harveys, give them comfort and strength, encourage Glenn and strengthen Ruth. Just bless them, we pray. Be with Heather. We just pray that she'll be encouraged and that just be with the entire family, that they can all work and function together for the good of all. We pray that you be with Patty and Webb as they have stress tests coming up, and just give them safety and encourage them. We pray that you would be with Elle Jean, and she is having two appointments this coming week. We pray that they would go well, and that whatever is deemed necessary would be something that would be easily correctable. We pray that you would be the continued recovery of surgery from Dave and Gail and Katie and Sherry. Just continue to encourage them all in the healing process. And then finally, we do ask that you would be with Maggie. We know that you are the creator of all creatures, great and small. We know that you are the one who gifted us with such wonderful parts of our family that bring such love and joy, and we thank you. And we just pray that you'll help the medication to do what it needs to do, and the kidney and the other issues. May Maggie be in comfort, and just encourage Tony and both Tonys as together they are having to watch a loved one suffer. So just be with that situation. Again, we thank you for an opportunity where we can come and the only focus is Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. All right, if you turn with me to the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you look with me to the insert, we'll use a portion of Psalm 22, calling each to worship. And then we'll stand and sing that wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art. Praise the Lord, you that fear him. Stand in awe of him, O offspring of Israel. All you of Jacob's line, give glory.
For he has not despised nor abhorred the poor of any poverty, neither does he die as a slave to women. But when they cry to him, he hears them.
My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall bow before him.
For he shall belong to the Lord, the rulers of the nations.
To him alone. All who sleep in the earth bow down and worship. All who go down in the dust fall before him.
My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord's forever.
They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done. Amen.
Thank you.
Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7, and 15 and 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout the generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her.
forth the right hand of your majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. Grant this, we pray, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Thank you. gospel reading is Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders, and the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'm going to take 2 weeks on this passage. We're going to be looking at Romans 5. And years ago, some of you were there, Bill, Tom, and John probably, many years ago at the old building where we used to have the men's group. And I don't even know who asked, but somebody wanted to go around and ask all the men, what was your favorite Bible verse or passage? And when it got to my father, who by his own admission didn't like to read, so I thought he'd say something like John 3:16 or Genesis 1:1. And he shocked me because he said, my favorite passage is Romans 5. And I made a note. It intrigued me, and I made a note in my mind to have a conversation asking him why. Well, you know how life comes and goes. I never had that conversation. And I look forward to having it soon. But this passage since then has just always been fond to me. And I'd encourage you to either look at your insert or your scripture at this wonderful passage of Romans 5 as we begin this week and next week to look at that. Grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be to all of you. Let me tell you that I want you never to read a single Bible verse. Now that may shock you. Now I want you to read the Bible. But time does not permit for me to catalog the list of heresies and dangerous practices and other things that have been because someone just read a single Bible verse. The scripture needs to be read in context. That's the problem with proof texting and having one verse. And sometimes, if you've ever heard a sermon where you thought the guy had an idea he wanted to communicate, and he sort of thumbed through the Bible to find a verse that could sort of fit that. And I remember once a gentleman who, in another state actually, who was a devout Christian, and he was also a car salesman. They do coexist. But he was absolutely convinced, it wasn't a joke, he was absolutely convinced, he said, that you were a better Christian if you bought from his dealership, which was a Honda dealership. And his verse to support that is that it says that Jesus and the disciples were all in one accord. That's what happens when you take one verse. Scripture needs to be read in context. It needs to be read knowing what came before, what is, and what will come after. So when we get to Romans 5, we're not going to just look at this passage. We're going to look at some markers. The very first word in therefore, we see this passage is bookend with therefore in verse 1. And whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, you've probably heard the old joke, you ask, why is it therefore? Or what is it therefore? And therefore, he's referring, okay, I have just spent the first four chapters of Romans describing what is righteousness. What is justification by faith? How are you made right with God? Therefore. Then there's another marker that indicates, and it's in the middle of our reading, in verse 6, we see for. And these two bookend between verse 1 and verse 5 these wonderful benefits that we have of being in Christ. And I'm going to look at the benefits next week. But verse 6 picks up with, if you'll allow me to say it, the small print. Have you ever been in a situation where something too good to be true was offered, but you had to read that small print? You know what I mean, right? The small print that says, okay, this will be yours if, or at this point he's using for. See, we're accustomed to benefits having to be earned, aren't we? I mean, we just think nobody gives benefits out. I mean, we just can't let anyone get our benefits or be open to the benefits. Some might not appreciate it. Some might take those benefits and take advantage of them. Some might, if we're honest, some aren't worthy of these benefits. So because we think benefits have to be earned, we subsequently create qualifications. If you go to most jobs, most businesses, they'll offer you benefits, but there's a qualification. You have to be there 90 days, 6 months, a period of time where you can prove yourself. If you go to a bank needing money, you have to prove before you get the benefit of a loan that you really don't need the money, but you've got to prove that you are worthy, that you have the collateral, you have the earning capability. They're not just going to give you the benefits unless you can prove you're qualified for the loan. You need to bring your resume. And not just your resume, because anybody can produce a resume. We need you to give us three references. So we can see in this vetting process, are you truly qualified? We'll do a background check on you to see, turn over every stone and look and see if there's anything in your past that would disqualify you from receiving benefits. Or the one that's probably the most insidious is basically, we'll let you in, we'll give you the benefits if you sort of look like me. If you're sort of my type of people. One of my favorite episodes of Andy Griffith is when they get an invitation through a hunting buddy of Andy's to join the Esquire Club in Raleigh. And it's a famous club, and it's highfalutin. So they go over, and Barney, being Barney, tried to be impressive. And in life, the more you try to impress, the least you do. And they weren't allowed in. They sort of were the opposite of Groucho Marx's famous dictum that I wouldn't want to be a member of a country club that would let me be a member. I mean, we want our benefits to, you got to earn them. You got to qualify. Now, let me be the first to say that all of this is right and good, and I'm in favor of qualifications in the horizontal economy. You know, Paul is the one who said, if you don't work, you don't eat. I mean, the thing about earning and working and qualifying is exactly correct in the horizontal economy. But like Jesus says to his disciples, that works in the world, but be it not so in the kingdom of God. In the vertical economy, how God relates to us and how we relate to God, we can't transfer this horizontal thinking that we've got to qualify for benefits. Rather, we see there are some qualifications, and that's what follows. Let's look at the fine print. Let's see who qualifies for these benefits. And basically, losers qualify. And not just losers, because they spent the whole first three chapters telling us that we're all sinners, that none of us seek after God, that none of us desire to be holy, that none of us can stand. But we need to be a loser and recognize it. And recognize it. Because there's grace in that recognition that only comes by the Holy Spirit, because if the Holy Spirit works in my heart that contrition, and I recognize I don't have it all together, and I'm willing to admit it, then there's grace freely given in the benefits that we'll talk about next week. Before I begin, let me give you a little Greek grammar, because it's important. In verse 6, and we see this phrase repeated several times in this passage, for while we were still weak, in the King James it says, while we were yet weak. We'll see, he says it again, while we were still sinners. And this is, and I'll try not to be too boring, this is in the aorist tense. We understand, and we don't have something comparable in English. The aorist tense has no understanding of time. There's no time involved. So it's not like you could say, well, I went to the grocery store yesterday. That's past. I'm going to the grocery store today. That's present. I'm planning to go to the grocery store tomorrow. That's future. The aorist tense has no concept of time. It basically just means is. You is a sinner. Bad grammar, but good theology. It wasn't that you were sinners. It isn't that you are sinners or you will be sinners. It just is you is a sinner. Find irritating most testimony. I like testimonies, but I don't like testimonies that are what you would call humble brag. You know what humble brag is? Lord, you should have seen me before the Lord got a hold of me. I was this and I was that and I was the other. But the Lord has gotten a hold of me, and the Lord has done a work in me, and the Lord has made something out of nothing. He took a piece of coal, and look at this shining diamond now, and he gets all glory. That's not the message of grace. And I remember, because I'd rather teach than care what people think, I remember several years ago in a large pastor setting, and one pastor stood up and basically said exactly that. You should have seen me before Christ. And I listened to it for a while. I stood up and said, you know, I appreciate that, but you ought to see me after Christ. Yeah. That's a whole teaching of simul justus et peccatum. We will struggle. We is sin. We are these things. until we get to glory. But it's a beautiful thing, because knowing that, I know I'm not doing it on my own, and the Holy Spirit works that contrition that I am a sinner, and it forces me to the foot of the cross to continue going back daily. Let me give you four things that the Scripture says here that we still are. We is. It's our qualifications. The first one, it says in verse 6, we're weak. We're weak. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, look around us. We're not powerful. We're not the movers and shakers in society. The church often is at its worst when it becomes powerful in society. We were created to be salt and light, and those are remnant. We are created to lead and to be effective from a position of vulnerability. We don't become powerful. We're not competing to be on top of the pile. Jesus was a servant, and we are to be. I was doing some research this past week, and in the King James Version, the word leader is mentioned 6 times. The word servant is mentioned over 800 times. We're to glory and recognize that we're weak, and that word means to be powerless, to be helpless, to be feeble. We sang that just a few minutes ago. It's an understanding that we can't offer anything to God. The word technically means to be deteriorated to the point of being useless. We're helpless. Not that we were, and now God's given us the Spirit, and we can walk in, you know, this wonderful victory. We do walk in victory, but the victory we walk in manifested itself on the cross. So we're qualified. If you're weak, if you're feeling powerless, if there's something in your life that you're totally impotent and can't do anything, you qualify. The second one, we see at the end of verse 6, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For the ungodly. You is ungodly. It wasn't that you were ungodly and now you're a shining good Christian of the Lord. We still are ungodly. We're not religious. We're destitute of any recognition of God. And you say, well, wait a minute, Tom. I love the Lord. I desire to be closer to Christ. I desire to be in His presence. I desire to know more of His Word. I want to be holy. That shouldn't surprise you. You're simultaneously a saint and a sinner. Just remember who to give the credit to for that. If you have any of those desires, it's because the Holy Spirit is actively working in us, because we are still ungodly. So if you sometimes surprise yourself, like I know I do, how sinful I can become, you qualify. You qualify. The third one, we see in verse 8, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners. We is sinners. And this is a strange word. It's harmartia. But the implication is, you're sinners to the point that when people think of you, the first thing they think of is your sin. When people, like if I say Bernie Madoff, you have a thought. I could call some religious leaders. You would have a thought, and I'm not going to do that. But it's the word that says when somebody thinks of you, they think, man, he's got a hot temper. When somebody thinks of you, the first thought is, man, she's got a sharp tongue. When somebody thinks of you, they think, oh, he's the one that went to prison for embezzlement. Oh, so you're fine. And so what it's saying is that part of this qualification in who Christ died for was sinners. I often wonder when people strive so much to prove that they're righteous, they're working themselves into a position that Christ didn't die for them. He died for us while we were sinners. And he gets all the glory. So if you are overwhelmed with your sin, or as Chuck Colson said, as a Christian, I'm drowning in the sea of my sinfulness. You qualify. And then the final one, which is probably the worst, if you can imagine. Verse 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled by God to the death of his Son. Now much more, we are reconciled. You'll see here that this doesn't have the aorist. We are not enemies of God. We were, and that word there for enemies means to find the other person odious. To find the other person absolutely worthless. We were enemies, but now we're not. Not because we did anything, but in Christ Jesus, God took off the boxing gloves. In Christ Jesus, he forgave. He was appeased. So these situations we struggle with, they don't prevent God's love. They're actually what produces it. God looks at our need and he looks at our feebleness. And we'll see this even later in Romans 5. Turn over a page to how it ends. It says, now the law came, verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespasses. But what a wonderful promise. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if we are weak and ungodly, known as sinners, we qualify for that love of Christ that comes to us, which lavishes all the benefits upon us. The greatest picture of this is the prodigal son. He desperately wanted. He thought about it on the entire trip back, and it was a long time to get back, because remember, he wasn't anywhere close. He was in a far country. And the whole way back, he's rehearsing, how am I going to spend this? So that my dad will let me at least come back as a servant. The dad wouldn't take him back as a servant. You're either a son, or you're not coming in. But you are a son. So I don't need to hear your well-rehearsed rationale for your weakness and your ungodliness and your sin. Let me be honest, for all of us. We're masters at trying to rationalize our bad behavior and stupidity and sinfulness, aren't we? Even if we just do it in our own head, we're masters at it. But if we win that, the only thing we want is this false sense that we don't need the absolute and radical forgiveness of Christ. We qualify not being able to come up with a slick discussion explaining ourselves to the Father. We're redeemed by being in his presence. And he interrupted the Son, and guess what the Father did? He brought out all the benefits. A ring and a crown and a robe and shoes and the fattened calf. He gave them all the benefits, because by returning to the Father in all his sinfulness, he showed he was qualified, because he came to God. Real quickly, why would God do that? It's because the word love in our passage today is not eros. It's not a sensual love. He doesn't do it because, you know, God finds something in us that's attractive. It's not phileo. It's not because he wants to be a friend with us and be our buddy and all that. It's not storge. He's not obligated to love us. It's agape, or you might say agape. It's a choice to love someone else. And it really doesn't matter whether they qualify or not. Because I've decided to love them. God has decided to love us. And if we recognize that we don't deserve it, we got it. We qualify. And next week we'll look at what those benefits are. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Glory to you, God of Abraham and Sarah, for you uphold every hope of redemption, and upon you rests eternity. In every age you have called your people to receive your blessing by faith, trusting not their own righteousness, but the promise that rests forever on your grace. In Christ you came to bear the weight of our sin, carry our offenses, and take up the hope of our salvation. And through your power, the cross he bears across his shoulders has become for us the resurrection and the life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we join the unending hymn.
Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Renewing God, through the cross of Christ, you redeem our failures by welcoming us to the feast of the forgiving. As there is nothing we can give you in return for our life, send your Holy Spirit to meet us in the grace of this meal, and send your Spirit upon this bread and this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in forgiveness, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Saving God, show your church the path of life. Give each one of your children courage and wisdom to take up their cross and follow you. Stretch every heart with compassion for the heavy burdens their neighbors carry, and transform all who are weighed down to become carriers of one another's burdens. Come alongside any who shoulder heavy cares alone and give them companions in walking each step. Take upon yourself the suffering of all who bear impossible weights at the demand of another, are forced to labor or given no rest, until all that is bowed low in sin or weighted down by struggle is lifted up and carried by your grace and transcended in your glory. Ever reigning God, forever one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've had people through the years tell me, well, I really can't come to church. I believe in God, believe in Christ, but I'm too big a sinner. That's somewhat like saying, I really can't go to the hospital, I'm just way too sick. Really, Jesus is a friend of sinners. He doesn't like hypocrites, but he's a friend of sinners. There's a big difference between a sinner and a hypocrite. A sinner knows quite honestly and openly of their own failures. And they'll be willing to confess it. And they come and receive forgiveness. And they go away justified. Hypocrites still believe that somehow they've got to appear righteous. So out of that pride, they pretend like they're not sinners. And they're the worst sinners of all. For Christ says he gives, or the scripture says he gives grace to the humble, but opposes the proud. We begin our worship service by confessing that we need his mercy. We close our worship service coming forward, confessing that we need his forgiveness. And we have that promise of knowing he turns no one away. His mercy and forgiveness and grace extends to us all. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come to receive this medicine for our soul, the love and presence of Jesus Christ, our sacrificial lamb. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
thank you for your loving us. All we truly need is to know what we learned as a child. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. We thank you for your love, your promise, your presence. We love you because you first loved us. And we pray in that holy name. Amen. Let us stand and sing just a fitting hymn. Let's sing it as a prayer of commitment for each of us. Hymn 520, 552. Serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.